Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. What a difference a week makes. Last week, if you were tuning in, you probably noticed that we were not quite live last week. Actually, last week we played the previous week because, well, let's just say the station was a little hard to get to. And flip side of that is I got to eat the pizza that I would have brought in for Kenny on last week. What can I say?
Was it really the weather? Were you going to eat that pizza anyways?
Any excuse will do. I did bring some in tonight. We'll mention East Coast pizza there again a little later on, but I just had to say that. But at any rate, I hope you're digging out, and it just was amazing. And depending on where you're at, you might have got a foot of snow. You might have got a foot and a half of snow, and then some of the blowing, drifting, and things like that. What was interesting, I got contacted by my sister who lives down in North Carolina, and the storm that's coming up now up the East Coast, and it's hitting all the way from the Carolinas all the way up to New England. And she had in North Carolina, in Statesville, what was it? I think she said 8.5 inches of snow, but a cousin of ours that lives down near Charlotte had over 11 inches.
Wow.
And that's South Carolina or North Carolina.
My sister's down in Disney.
What did they get?
I'm not sure how much snow they got, but she did send a picture of a fountain that was frozen.
Wow.
Fountain in Disney.
At one point this past week, Pensacola, Florida was colder than Juneau, Alaska.
That's crazy.
It's amazing. And they actually do this down there in certain areas of Florida when weather gets that cold. And they say, watch out for falling iguanas.
Yeah.
Because iguanas, you know, they're not native to Florida, but they love Florida. They came in, you know, people would get iguanas as pets and then they'd let them go. And you get tired of them, they'd let them go. Well, iguanas have spread. They're all over in parts of Florida. And when it gets too cold, they can't hang on to the tree branches. And they're real sluggish because they're cold-blooded, and they literally fall out of the trees. And we were talking about this at our Friday night Bible study, and I said that some people were trading recipes online for iguana tacos. And one of the ladies there said that her daughter, who had been down in South America, had actually had iguana tacos. And I imagine they taste like chicken, but... I don't know. There's a lot of them down there, and it's not, you know, you think about it. Here in northeastern Ohio, we get a foot of snow, and everybody's like, man, this is a mess. And then the next day, everybody's out running around. But down in that part of the country, you know, an inch of snow is like a foot of snow up here. And imagine when they're getting nearly a foot. It's just an incredible snowstorm. But I was telling several people that when you drive around right now, it looks like the snows back in the 80s. I remember when I was younger, much younger back and I shouldn't say in the 80s, in the 70s, back in the 70s. I remember when I was in high school and driving around, you know, and you did mountains of snow in the parking lots, and you just haven't seen that in a long time. And as kids, we'd slide down those little, we call them snow mountains. We'd slide down, it'd be 10-foot high mountain or higher, piled up our driveway. My dad used to scoop out the snow. We had a tractor that had a scoop on the end of it, and he'd use that to scoop the snow out of the driveway, and he'd pile it up in these giant mounds. As kids, we'd slide down. I had a great time. And then I was telling some other people a little bit older than me, and they were saying, well, I remember back in 1950, I think it was, or 50, 52, something like that, when there was a huge, huge snowstorm that just socked northern Ohio. And And that's why back in the 70s, they were calling it, the ice age is coming, the ice age is coming. In fact, last Monday, a week ago, or just almost a week ago now, last Monday was the anniversary of the 1978 January snowstorm that was one of the worst snowstorms on record here in Ohio, not just Northeast Ohio or Northern Ohio, but all across the state. I remember talking to somebody one time who lived down near Delaware, or, well, let's see, well, north of Columbus, but trying to think, well, where was it? They lived on 30, and on 20, what is the one that goes north and south? 23 out of Columbus, that's up to Michigan. And they lived on 23 south of Route 30, and they said that it was so snowy, the road was stuck down. They had a farm out there, and they said that they had people staying in their house for several days that were just stuck. They couldn't get them out. I remember one story of a tractor trailer rig that he got completely drifted over. Yeah, because there were drifts, 20, 30 foot high drifts along the roads. And the only way they knew he was there, somebody's walking along, they saw the stack of his truck sticking out above the snow, and he was running his truck. They could see the exhaust coming out of the stack, and they found him down there. He was okay. He was all warm and insulated in the snow. Snow's a great insulator, by the way. It really is. You'd be surprised at how well it insulates. But of course, you know, it has a drawback. It in and of itself is cold. If it gets too warm, then it turns to water, and then you get wet, and that's not so good. But so we've had some tremendous storms, and I remember two in I believe it was March of 1993, just before my wife and I went off to the Samoan Islands. And we had this incredible blizzard that came through the area, and our church was meeting in the northern part of Richfield along Brecksville Road. And at that point, Brecksville Road was two lanes in each direction, and it was reduced to like a lane and a half, and it was just incredible. We get big snows every once in a while. We are northern Ohio, to be sure, but when you get down into the Carolinas and further south, down even into Florida, where you get snow and freezing temperatures, they're just not equipped to deal with it. It's about 14 degrees out there right now, though. You know, we were at 14 below at our house a couple of times this past week, and in the early wee hours of the morning, just some super cold weather coming through, and we've got more winter to come. You know, we're just hitting February, and I always figured that the last half of January, first half of February is the coldest time of the year. So hopefully we'll get through this. Tomorrow is Groundhog Day. We're going to see if the groundhog sees his shadow. I think I finally figured it out. If he sees his shadow, it's going to be six more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see his shadow, then spring is going to come early in about 6 weeks.
Yeah, it all times out the same. I never understood that. I did the math when I was like in third grade. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
How stupid is this?
You know, actually, there was a guy, and some people might remember him. His name was Jack Horkheim. And he was an astronomer, and he used to do these little programs on you know, things. And they were just little short things, like 5 minutes or something. And he did one time where he said that there was actually a very small, accent on the small, bit of truth to the statement of Groundhog's Day. And it had something to do with atmospheric conditions that slightly, not much, but slightly, I think it was only 60-some percent of the time the groundhog would be right. But then, of course, it depends on which groundhog you listen to, because you got Punxsutawney Phil over in Pennsylvania, you got Buckeye Chuck here in Ohio, and then what about your local groundhog? And so what happens there? At any rate, yeah, we got more winter to come. And this is Northeast Ohio. We'll get through it. And in a few more weeks, we'll be seeing the signs of spring popping up and people will be tapping their maple trees. It'll be maple syrup time. And then the next thing you know, you're going to see the little early spring flowers poking through the ground, and we'll be getting ready to celebrate Easter and the resurrection of Christ, and then the advent of spring, and then before you know it, we'll be in the middle of summer complaining that it's too hot. See, we're just never happy, are we? But at any rate, I hope you'll stick with us tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me and more about the program. You can listen to past programs there, and they are current up through, this past Friday, January 30th. I was reviewing it, and I kept thinking, I've got a problem with the program last week. It's not coming up right. And then I realized I didn't have anything loaded. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. There's nothing loaded because last week was a repeat of the previous week. And so I had to make a note on there. So you'll see that January 26th, or I'm sorry, 25th, is a rebroadcast. It's a rebroadcast of the January 18th. The previous Sunday, and so you'll see that on there. But there's a whole bunch of other material there, and you can also read some of the articles that I have. The most recent article posted on there is the article, Is Everlasting Life Really Everlasting Life If It Doesn't Last Forever? And you can take a look at that. You can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And let me encourage you to check us out there. Love to have you visit in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today. So not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday, we have our annual spaghetti dinner. And that'd be a great time to visit. We have a spaghetti dinner, spaghetti salad, and a bunch of other stuff, and just a good time of fellowship following the morning service. And that'll be, of course, 2 weeks from today, which makes that, what, about the 15th, I think, something like that. That's what we've got coming up at Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And then, of course, we're going to go ahead and dive into our program today. I don't think we've prayed, so let's go ahead and do that. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Thank you. The weather's much better this week. We're able to be out and be able to get into the studios. And again, we do pray that you would bless. Use the program tonight for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, we just pray that in all things we lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to get into our program here with our first caller calling in tonight. We've got Nancy calling in this evening. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. I really appreciate you taking my call.
Good evening.
And good evening to you. And I would appreciate you describing the extent of the persecution of Christians in Iran. I did find two Bible verses, Matthew 5:10, part of the Beatitudes. Mm-hmm. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then I'm thinking about the mean people that are persecuting the Christians, so this would apply. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You know, it's really hard to bless those that are persecuting the Christians and just to pray for them. Suppose it's some of your relatives. Mm-hmm. Your mother was, you know, killed. So I find this verse really hard for those that are in that situation to really carry out. But I know, you know, we're supposed to be like Christ. So, and then I do seem to remember in the dark recesses of my brain that President Trump was expressing concern for the persecution of Christians in Iran. So if you could expound on that, thank you very much.
Sure. And, you know, looking at the first verse that you were looking at, which was what, verse 5, or chapter 5, verse, what was it?
10.
I just had it here, yeah. Verse 10 there, where, you know, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Of course, Jesus is talking to Jewish believers there. And many times the Jewish people had been persecuted because of their stand for the Lord and refusal, mm-hmm. for instance, to bow to foreign gods and accept idolatry and things like that. And so that's what he's talking about there as he's addressing them. And then, as you said, when we get down into verse 44 there, the concept here is it's not so much the idea that if somebody's killing you that you're supposed to just bless them and pray for them as they're killing you. The context here of this is largely the idea of this is the type of persecution, you know, like when people just want to make your life difficult maybe.
Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah, maybe they are insulting to you, or maybe they're even, you know, trying to use the law against you, things of that nature. This is not talking about defending yourself against people who are trying to kill you or something like that.
I'm very relieved.
Yeah, despitefully use you here actually has to do with you're being ill-treated, like being sued in a court of law and all mm-hmm. of that. And mm-hmm. and so in a sense, it's almost more like legal persecution that you're going through because of your stand for the Lord, basically. And mm-hmm. so there are people who are going to make life difficult for you just because you love the Lord and you want to live for Him.
Absolutely.
And and we do need to pray for those people. But by the same token, you know, the idea, just like when you know, Jesus said, if somebody smites you, turn the other cheek. Now, he's not talking about somebody who's got a sword out and whacks you with a sword or a club and whacks you with a club alongside the head or hauls mm-hmm. off and punches you. He's talking about like the type of a slap where somebody is ill-treating you and maybe, you know, cursing you or something, and then they slap you. As a sort of an insultive sort of thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's where he's saying, you know, you just take the insults and all that, but there's nothing in the Bible that says you cannot take a stand and defend yourself when need mm-hmm. be. And I know that is a concern that people have, because people have said, what if our church gets invaded like City's church up in St. Paul, Minnesota did, you know, a couple of weeks ago on the 18th? And, you know, what happens? What do we do? You know, I mean, you know, if they're blocking access to my child, I'm not going to just stand there. I'm going through them, you know, that type of stuff. People are, mm-hmm. you know, is it okay to do that? And I would say, well, yeah, your mm-hmm. first responsibility is towards your child and mm-hmm. not to their well-being, but your child's well-being. Because think about it. That person was not put in your life for you to take care of them, meaning the person mm-hmm. that's causing the problem. Your child was put in your life for you to take care of your child. You have a God-given mm-hmm. responsibility for the health and the well-being of your child, not for the person that's standing between you and your child. And I think that's mm-hmm. an important thing to understand. And so, you know, we can, you know, go, you know, or I should say, we can stand up for our rights. We can stand up against violence and mm-hmm. to prevent the harm of ourself or others. But mm-hmm. we ought to be able to take an insult. We ought to be able to take mm-hmm. somebody who's just making things difficult for us and mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and turn the other cheek, pray for them, you know, bless, you know, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you.
Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah. I was going to say, and it continues, the sentence continues in verse 45. Because if you look at the end of verse 44, it's not a period, it's a semicolon. And he says in verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. But just even if you just look at that first part of verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, we need to remember that we represent God here on earth. We're his children. We're his representatives. We bear his name. And so, therefore, we don't want to bring reproach upon his name.
Oh, okay, great.
So, but yeah, it's an interesting passage. And again, all of this was written, you know, it was spoken, Jesus was speaking to Jewish people, and really this is applicable under the law of Moses. This is before the cross. But these are principles that we can apply today now that we live in the day of grace. I mean, these people were under the law, now we're under grace. Mm-hmm. And I would say in some cases, even more so, we ought to be willing to be tolerant and you know, to take these little things, take these things and just, again, look to the fact that they're persecuting us because we're representing Christ, and we want to take a stand for Christ. But
Thank you for explaining that.
But
if you could, if you could go into just how extensive, I read different reports depending on the source, just how extensive the persecution of Christians are, like how many of them are killed or how many of them are tortured. Do you know details about that, or I was just curious?
I don't think anybody knows the full story right now. It's pretty apparent that tens of thousands of people have died in Iran. The government is killing people. You know, you have people, you have members of the Iranian Republic, or the, you know, the Republican National Guard there, and you have other groups there, paramilitary groups in Iran, that are firing automatic weapons indiscriminately into crowds of protesters. You have reports of injured people in the hospital when some of these militia people go into the hospital and just shoot them right there, laying on a gurney, laying on a hospital bed. They just shoot them. There's also credible reports of people that are wounded being stuffed into body bags and zipped shut, and just basically to die in there, and horrible things that are going on. Now, a good many of these people, I'm sure, are Christians, because the growth of Christianity, a lot of people don't realize this, the growth of Christianity in Iran is incredible. It's just probably one of the hotbeds of Christian growth in the Middle East. And God is working. And you know, this actually makes it kind of interesting when you look at what's happening over there in light of Bible prophecy, because we know that Iran is going to come against Israel at some point again, and they are talking about it. I haven't seen the latest, but it looks like things are beginning to happen over there. We have built up our forces, the USS Abraham Lincoln. It's a Nimitz class carrier, and its associated battle group are now in the area. We've had a number of other support aircraft in the area, tankers and things like that, coming into the area, which gives the ability for fighters and reconnaissance aircraft to stay in the air longer. And speaking of that, we've had some reconnaissance aircraft overflying the area, and so they're gearing up for something. A couple of weeks or two, three weeks ago, when we thought there was going to be an attack, actually, President Trump backed off. And part of the reason for that is they realized that the status of forces, we really didn't have what was necessary to have an overwhelming attack. And President Trump is leaning towards, he wants to have the ability to go in with overwhelming force, get things done quickly rather than drag it out. And so there's a lot going on in the, in that area. It's an area, certainly pray for believers that are in that area. It's an area of much Bible prophecy yet to be fulfilled. And so it remains to be seen what's going to happen. I'm sure this is going to be an active week over there. So we need to be in prayer. But at the same time, we certainly need to be in prayer for, you know, Christians all around the world, because many places that they're suffering persecution. And you know, it's if they could do it, it's coming here. I sound like a broken record going back to the church attack in St. Paul a couple of weeks ago. But that one of the things there, again, as I've said before, I'll keep saying it, is to intimidate Christians, to silence churches that are tempted to speak out, and to drive a wedge between churches and law enforcement. And that's what they're trying to do. And so it's good that there have been arrests. Hopefully people will wind up being not only just arrested but and charged, but also tried and wind up doing hard time. So we'll see what happens there, but pray for churches here that, you've got Hillary Clinton, that she just put out an op-ed here this past week, I believe it was. And, in this op-ed, she has, what did she call it on, something about empathy, MAGA's war on empathy. That's what she calls it. And she's basically arguing that she's a Christian and she understands what the Bible has to say, and that people like you and I are not real Christians. We're trying to replace American democracy with a theocratic version of Christian nationalism. So it's a continual effort to stir public opinion against Christians. And by the way, we don't really have an American democracy. We have an American republic. A constitutional republic. If people would study the Constitution and study government, they would know that we are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. And the fact that we're a constitutional republic is because of Christians and their understanding of the Word of God. But she is trying to say that we're calling compassion weakness, and we're trying to say it's cruelty is a strength, and that we're turning these things into articles of faith, and we're the extremist, and you know,
it's unbelievable.
But this is the people that are there claiming. These are the type of people that were in that church. I mean, Armstrong, the leader of that group that was in the church, piously walking down the center aisle of the church, saying, "I'm an ordained minister, and this is not a Christian church." Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. She is a false minister. She's a minister called of God, the God of this world. She's serving Satan, not God, the God of the Bible. She's serving the God of this world, and people like Hillary Clinton are as well. So what do? They try to vilify us and make us the evil people. They're the ones who are calling evil good.
All they can do is use projection. That's all they do. Everything they say almost is either a lie or a projection.
and that's a very good point, projection, because they frequently accuse us of what they're doing. And so we really need to be in prayer for our country. We need to be in prayer for President Trump. It's just amazing. You know, you look at the people on the left, and I'm sorry, the left. If you took away the letter F out of the English language, they wouldn't have much to say. What is it? The people on the left. And I'm not talking about just these nutcases that invaded the church up there in St. Paul a couple weeks ago. I'm talking about politicians. I'm talking about people who are elected to public office, who drop the F-bomb routinely now in press conferences and things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what they think it's doing for them, but they're dropping the F-bomb and claiming to be the true Christians.
Oh, that's...
it's just, I don't know. Well, you know, we know what the Bible says, and we know that God has a plan and a purpose. And that's where we need to pray for these people as well. Remember, we saw there in you know, where Jesus said to pray for your enemies. And then we do need to pray for these people. Pray that some of them will come to a knowledge of the truth. So, but.
Oh, well, thank you. You covered the subject perfectly. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the question there. And I hear the music there, so I know we're coming up on the break here, but I appreciate your call tonight.
Oh, I appreciate your answer. Thank you.
All right. Well, we'll catch up with you again next week, hopefully. And we got a break coming up in about 5 seconds, so don't go away. We got another hour and a half to go tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220 The Word. Hope you'll stick with us here this evening. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there, both our Sunday night programs, our Friday afternoon programs. We have them there. You can find them. Also, we have articles there that I've written on a variety of topics. And the latest article there, as I mentioned, is entitled, "Is Everlasting Life Really Everlasting Life If It Doesn't Last Forever?" And you can also go from there to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. You can find us at 4174 Wheatley Road. And I say Suite 200 because we're in a commercial strip building there. If you look for a building with a cross and a steeple on it, you're not going to find it. You got to look for our door. And so 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. That's right where Brexville Road, Wheatley Road cross. Wheatley Road is the exit on 77 and just midway between Akron and Cleveland. And Wheatley Road, when it crosses Brexville Road, actually it becomes Broadview Road as it goes up north and eventually up into Cleveland. But you can find us right there. Easy to get to, you know, from either Akron or Cleveland. We'd love to have you come visit us. And, of course, we've got coming up in 2 weeks' time, we've got our annual church spaghetti dinner. And unless the weather becomes too bad and we have to change the timing on it, on February 15th after our morning service is our spaghetti dinner. And we're certainly, you're invited to come if you want to visit our church and just be with us and meet us and all that. That'd be a great time to come. Or you don't have to wait until then. You can come next week. You can come to our Bible study on Friday night. And of course, if you can't make it in person for some reason, check us out online. If you go to rumble.com, that's rumble.com, you can just click on the search bar, put in Richfield BBC for Bible Baptist Church, and you'll find our page there. You can listen to our services. You can listen to our Friday night Bible study, and you can join us that way at rumble.com. Also, we've got a variety of social media that you can go to, and if you go to live at PastorAl.com, I think you find just about all of that. So, all right. And, of course, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, is the main sponsor of the program, but also sponsoring the program is East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. Now, last week, Kenny did not get any East Coast Pizza.
Nope.
Not my fault.
Allegedly.
Not my fault. I was prepared to hook up the dogs and have them pull the sled through the ice and snow, you know, and mush them all the way up. Well, geographically, you think of north going up, but topographically, this is actually lower than where I was. I should say all the way down here. And just to deliver some East Coast pizza and to do the program. But, well, not only did we cancel our Sunday night service last week because of the weather, but the radio station was canceled, and so I didn't get any East Coast pizza in here for Kenny last week. But this week, I managed to make it. I struggled. I wanted to eat it, but I didn't. It's there.
All four pieces.
That's
all,
right.
All eight, I mean, four pieces,
eight,
right?
I mean, yeah.
Were there?
And
it was delicious.
Very good. But East Coast Pizza is located at 4889. I don't know where the three came from. 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And say, well, why do we talk about Kenny eating the pizza? Well, if they're a partial
because
sponsor,
it's
delicious. Yeah, yes. But if it's a partial sponsor, what better way than to get an absolutely unbiased second opinion on the air of the pizza? So, especially since it's pizza left over from Friday. And
if we're singing, I'm singing the praises of leftover pizza. Imagine how good it is fresh.
It is fresh. And if any of our listeners remember Bruce Musselman, he's with the Lord in heaven now, but Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid still plays sponsors his program where it's recorded programs, and I used to help him out there with some of the programs, and we would go. Now, Kenny, this is what you would have loved this. after we would get done, because at the time when Bruce was still with us, it would be on a Thursday afternoon. We'd finish the program here, I think about 3 o'clock or something like that, if I remember. And we would drive over to Garfield Heights from here in Independence. And Gus at East Coast Pizza, the owner, would make us fresh, each one of us, our own large deluxe pizza. What do you think about that?
That's fantastic.
I mean, we'd have good conversation with them, and it's not really geared to have people eating in, but he had a small table there, and there would be several of us sitting there, and Gus always had some good questions about the Bible and stuff. We'd be talking about maybe something that was on the program or whatever, and they would bring out these, you know, Gus would bring out personally these pizzas that he made for us, and it was always enough that we had plenty to take home. Oh, my, those were the days.
That's awesome.
You know, the problem of that was I had to drive home, especially in the wintertime, you know, when it was cold, with the car closed up with that fresh pizza smell just permeating everything. But so let me—
And how much of it would get kind of misplaced on the way home?
Well, you know, I mean, for the most part, did pretty good, because, you know, remember, it was a large pizza, and usually had several pieces of it while we were talking. So yeah, I was pretty full by that time. And but I would be remiss if I said I never snuck a piece on the way home out of the years that we were doing that. But
it kind of reminds me when I was little and we go with my dad to go get pick up McDonald's for everyone. We always got an extra fry for the ride home.
Well, that makes sense, because otherwise when you get back, everybody's going, wait a minute, they don't fill their fries very full,
fries
do they?
This,
yeah, obviously they're only half full. And mine's the same way. So's mine. You guys want any fries? Ah, that's okay. You guys split them. But anyway, East Coast Pizza, check them out there. 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And give a call at 216-341-9100. 216-341-9100. You won't regret it. All right, we're going to get back to our program here. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. The number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Terry calling in tonight. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Once again.
Yes. Well, it's been 2 weeks.
Thanks, Sonny.
It's been 2 weeks, yes.
It went pretty quick, though.
Yeah, and even 2 weeks ago, I think we did a kind of an odd sort of a program, because you and Kenny, I was kind of quizzing you on some things and all that, so it wasn't your usual question or comments. We had kind of odd sort of thing. Talking about if you could understand, you know, the people that were trying to say, what is a woman? So, but I digress.
Yeah, I listened to it. It was kind of weird listening to myself speak on the air.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because last week, I think most people realized that we had just you're socked in. We just couldn't, you know, people couldn't get here. It wasn't safe to be out in the roads. The studio was socked in, and so they replayed everything. And so I thought, you know, that one on the 18th, or was it the 18th or whatever it was? But 2 weeks before. And I thought that was a good enough one. It was still fresh. A lot of the information, a lot of the stuff we talked about, still fresh in the news. So we just had them replay that. It was a lot easier that way. So. And safer.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I had some bad news happen to me.
Oh, what happened?
A good friend of mine passed away. He died of had a stroke.
Mm.
I ended up with plaque in his brain.
Uh huh.
And from coming from the heart, I guess.
Well, and there is a type of plaque that builds up in the brain. You got what's called the blood-brain barrier, which prevents a lot of bad stuff from getting in there. But there's some stuff that takes place in the brain, and what was the term? I was just reading about this. There's a process that when you're sleeping, especially in deep sleep, where your brain is literally rinsing this plaque out that builds up, and sometimes it doesn't, and that's where you get some problems. But go ahead.
Yeah, and he got outside of the house, and mm-hmm. a neighbor found him. He was in the yard with no coat on or anything.
Ooh.
So it sounds like he was having an experience, and so he got out into the front of the house, which yeah. he usually does.
Yeah.
Usually goes through the side door, but uh-huh. anyway, he ended up in the front lawn. The neighbor saw him, took him to the hospital, and and so I visited him for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. After. It was kind of weird, like he was moving his arms around and everything, and I shared some scriptures with
yeah.
him to be absent
yeah.
from the body is to be present with the Lord, and
yeah.
like that encouragement, eh?
Yeah, and I was going to say, too, the type of plaque that maybe comes from the heart that would cause a stroke actually would be different than what I was talking about inside the brain. That leads more to, like, dementia and things like that. But, yeah, you'll get plaque in the blood vessels because when you have a stroke, you'll get to blood, you know, deprivation, you know, and things like that. Something blocks, like a clot or something blocks blood from getting to the brain, and it can cause problems. But, yeah, it can cause a lot of, you know, odd things.
And me and him, like him and I, we talked about the Jehovah's Witnesses mm-hmm. one to another, because he had an interest in the Jehovah's Witnesses
yeah.
too, eh?
Yeah.
And the other day, just about a week ago, we haven't talked to each other for a long time. We were both thinking at the same time about calling each other and talking to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ended up calling me.
Yeah.
And we talked for about a couple hours. And
yeah.
The last words that came out of his mouth were, Terry, I always enjoy talking with you.
Mm.
So that's something that was the last words he yeah. said before.
Well, and when you got to go in the hospital to speak with him and share some scriptures, you know, they always encourage people to do things like that because oftentimes, even though somebody might appear unresponsive, they can still hear what you're saying.
Right.
And so it's always yeah. good to do that. Yeah.
And his daughter did the same thing. She's not mm-hmm. a believer, but she shared a bunch of scriptures with him because he knew that he was a believer.
Yeah, well, to pray for her that maybe she see that and the witness will be enough to help her to put her faith in Christ.
And the one thing that he was really well respected for was that he picked up a lot of kids from all over the neighborhood
mm-hmm.
and he brought them to church.
Yeah.
He had a big bus or whatever.
Yeah.
And he picked up kids, and that's what his ministry has been for years and years and years.
Wow! Yeah, that you know, and that's a tremendous thing. You don't know whose lives you're going to impact. You don't know what those kids are going to grow up to be.
Yeah,
he's
been wrong.
I was just sharing at church tonight that there was an evangelist in the early 1900s, late 1800s, going into the early 1900s, by the name of Mordecai Ham. He was a Jewish man who embraced Christ as the Messiah and was saved. And he used to hold what they would call tent revivals. And he was down somewhere, I think it was Charlotte, North Carolina, somewhere down that way. And they had a tent revival, and there were two 14-year-old boys that were walking along, and they saw it, and they kind of looked in out of interest, and the place was really full. They didn't see any place to sit, so they started to move on, and an usher came out and said, "Oh, no, we'll get you seats," and he got some people to scoot over, and they got him seated. Well, those two boys gave their lives to the Lord. You know who one of those two boys was? It was Billy Graham.
Well,
I mean, think about that. You know, now, everybody knows the name Billy Graham, and regardless of what you think about him, you know, the name Billy Graham is well known. But who knows the name of the usher? Nobody, really. But
and his brother.
Yeah, but the point is that usher didn't know what these young men were going to be when they grew up. He didn't know what God was going to do with them or not. He just saw some young men that he had a burden that they should be in the service and under the preaching of God's word. And it's the same thing, Moody Bible Institute, D.L. Moody, a shoe store salesman, got burdened for him and led him to the Lord in the back of a shoe shop. People know D.L. Moody, Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, Moody Broadcasting Network, all this stuff. D.L. Moody, great evangelist. But who knows the shoe salesman?
Yeah,
you know, and that's like your friend.
Something like that. Yeah. And, yeah, you know, the Word of God never turns void. So,
yeah.
You know, just hearing the Word of God can change a person's life.
You don't know what's going to happen with some of these young people whose lives you touch. I remember there's a ministry in Michigan. I think it's still there. I haven't seen anything from them in a long time. But there's a little town called Fowlerville, Michigan. It's the nearest town to it that people would have heard of is Lansing, Michigan. And it's kind of in the central part of the lower peninsula of Michigan. And there was a ministry there called the Christian, it was originally called the Christian Salvage Mission when I first found them. And it was a great little ministry. They would take like some of the big Christian book publishers up in Lansing would I think it was Lansing. Where was it that they were publishing? At any rate, it wasn't too far from where these Christian book publishers were, and they would they would have books that didn't get sold or whatever, and they would just give them to them, and they would give them away to missionaries and send them overseas to people overseas, and or maybe a pastor passes away and a family didn't know what to do with his library, and they just give it to him, things like that. And it all started because there was a man who was a junk dealer, and he had a flatbed truck, and this is like back in the 40s or something like that, and he had a burden to bring kids to church, and he would go pick up kids, and he'd sit them on the back of his flatbed. Of course, it's a flatbed, it has no sides. And the church people got a little concerned because he wasn't the best driver, and there was no sides for to keep the kids on the back of the truck. So they thought the guy means well, but we got to do something before something happens. And he ended up leading him into this business where he would get books and Christian teaching materials and recycle them, and then build it into this huge ministry that supplied materials to people all over the world. But, just what somebody can do that has a burden to serve the Lord.
Yeah, like somebody asked me if I wanted to go to a party at their house, and I said, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to their house, and I find out they asked me if they wanted to have a beer or a coffee. I said, I guess I didn't think that it was wrong to have a beer. And of course, I wanted to have a beer. I wanted to get the party started, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And then they started witnessing to me about Jesus. And,
yeah.
Accepting. And I went back to, I lived in a hotel room at the time, and mm-hmm. went back to the hotel room, and I gave my life over to the Lord.
Amen.
Because of that.
Yeah.
And I've never been the same since.
Yeah. Well, it's going to have a change in your life. I've been preaching on Sunday mornings through the book of James in our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And, I had gone through recently in chapter two, where he talks about, faith without works is dead. And talking about if you really have a living faith, not that you have to do works to get saved, but if you're genuinely truly saved and your faith is a living faith, there will be evidence of works that you do, won't there?
Yep.
A change.
As soon as we become believers, that's when the works start.
There's going to be a change, and that change will manifest itself. And it's an amazing thing. In Ecclesiastes, on Sunday nights, I'm preaching through the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'm in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, and we've been going through talking about wisdom in Ecclesiastes as well. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing because I know we're coming up on the break here, but.
Yep.
Again, there's the idea that there's going to be, if there's a change, if you have godly wisdom, it's going to show forth. And so we've got this sort of thing throughout the Bible. When you meet Christ, when you meet the Lord, there's going to be changes that should be apparent to those around you.
Right. And we need to let our light shine before men, that men might see our good works and glorify it.
Yeah.
Our Father, which is in heaven.
Yeah. I remember a guy, he was an elderly man when he got saved. He was like 79 years old, I think 78 or 79 when he got saved, turned his life over to the Lord. And I mean, and he started living for the Lord, going to church, and he got involved in a nursing home ministry. And, you know, he's preached to people in the nursing home younger than he was. And one of his drinking buddies said to him, "What happened? What did you do that was so bad that you had to get religion?" But they noticed a difference.
And if they can't see that in us, then, you know, faith without works is dead.
Yeah, there ought to be some evidence. And, you know, when you look at living things, it might not be readily apparent that there's life. You know, you go out and look at some trees outside right now, they don't look like they're alive because they look dead. There's no leaves on them. But if you look at it, you'll see, well, there's the little leaf buds, and if you take one of those off and dissect it, you'll see that inside that leaf bud, there's living tissue. And if you cut into the side of the tree and you go through the outer bark, you get into the cambium layer and all that, you'll find living tissue. If you dig down into the ground and you hit one of the roots, you'll find living tissue, evidence that it's alive. And, you know, it's...
And we're being sanctified. It's a daily progress.
Yeah, exactly. Daily growing closer to the Lord.
Right, we just don't accept the Lord and all of a sudden all everything is, you know, all new. I mean, everything is new, but I mean...
Right.
We become old things are passed away, all things become new. But
I mean, he declares us to be righteous. He justifies us, but it's still a process as we're working through growing closer to him, becoming more and more Christ-like.
Us.
Yeah, exactly.
I did a study on all that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Justification, justified, sanctified, and glorified.
Yeah.
Now I'm waiting for the day that I'm glorified.
Yeah, and see, that's what a lot of people don't realize is, yes, we're saved, but we're not perfect yet because we've not been glorified yet. As far as God's concerned, it's a done deal, but we're still waiting.
Yeah. And we're all saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man shall boast. It's a gift of God.
Yeah. And what was it? Paul said, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" Because of the sin nature that we struggle with every day. But we have the grace of God that, it's an ongoing thing. So it's a real blessing. So, yeah.
I had a couple things I was going to bring up, but if I got time. But
well, we got a little less than a minute. If you can hold over, we can hit some more things on the other side of the break. And also, if we get some other callers calling in, we might have to cut it short. But yeah, we've got just like I said, less than a minute, so we'll take a break here in a minute, about 30 seconds. But you know, when we think about what God has done for us and the continual process, I mean, it's just that's part of the mystery of salvation. It's part of the not only the mystery of salvation but the miracle of salvation, because there's the mystery and the miracle working hand in hand. Hey, we got a break coming up in about 5 seconds, so don't go away. We got our hour to go. We'll be right back.
Drag queen story hours in our schools and churches, gender dysphoric men dominating women's sports, violence and anarchy taking over our streets, all encouraged and promoted by politicians, school boards, teachers' unions, even churches. America is spiraling into an abyss of spiritual darkness and moral insanity. Now more than ever, God's people need to shine forth as beacons of truth in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. But what if they won't heed the light? Well, as President Reagan used to say, when you can't make them see the light, make them feel the heat. Unfortunately, many churches have abandoned the Word of God for the philosophies of men, and their light has gone out. The fire has gone out in their pulpits, and they've become lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. They need to repent and turn back to God. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. Don't hide your light. Light a fire. Stand up. Speak out. vote, and make them feel the heat.